Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the ever-precious and the worthy name of our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus. This is your Bible teacher of the air speaking, J.W. Bramhall, giving you an earnest welcome to the continued ministry and our mutual study of the precious Word of God. Our present theme of study is the First Epistle of John. We would read today from chapter 2 in this First Epistle of John, beginning, if I may, at verse 14, and the second half of the verse. I've written to you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and its lust. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever, or abides for eternity. May God bless the reading and hearing of this portion from his word, and may the Holy Spirit be the revealer and the teacher of the truth that it contains for God's beloved people. Just a brief review of the study that we have already commenced and enjoyed in part from this first epistle of John. We have divided the epistle into two great sections, chapters 1 and 2 being the first division of the book, and that presents to us the Father himself with his family, and the fellowship and the joy that he desires to obtain with and in his children belonging to him. The second great division of the book, as we shall see later, will begin at chapter 3 to the end of the book at the end of chapter 5. There we shall learn of the responsibilities of the family within the world. In this second chapter in our preceding message, we have noted the divisions which God has in the family. Now, we do not believe that it is the proper thing for the children of God to be divided from one another. But we do believe and must believe that in this family letter, beginning at verse 13 particularly, and going down to the end of the chapter, chapter 2, we have the family divided into three different grades. Those grades are according to their spiritual growth and development. There are those whom the Spirit of God writes to as being fathers, implying those who have matured and grown and developed to the extent that they have thus matured in the Lord in spiritual fellowship and knowledge with God. And then we have another grade in the family, called young men, of which we have just been reading. Young men in the family, strong, going on well, and unquestionably toward full maturity of spiritual growth. Then we shall find there are little children, infants in the family, who also need to grow and develop to continued maturity in the will of the Father and to his delight. Now we touch today particularly upon the classification of the young men, as we have it written in this first epistle of John chapter 2, and particularly from verse 14 through 17. Now please note in the 14th verse, we have three special characteristics stated concerning them. First of all, they possess strength, and may I stress, this is not physical strength, but this is spiritual strength to which the Spirit of God is referring. Because ye are strong. This is quite typical, is it not, even in the physical realm, that young men are very proud of their strength, and boast of their strength, and seek to increase their strength. What a commendation this is, when in the family of God, there are those who seek to go on to be strong in the Lord. The second characteristic that is indicated in this 14th verse is the true source of their strength. Ye are strong because the Word of God abides in you. Here we have the source of their strength, and that is the Bible itself. But that beloved book of God is not just merely in their minds and in their intellect, but it is dwelling in their hearts. The Word of God abideth in you. We may well remember the words of the psalmist in chapter 119, when he declared in verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Let us ever remember them, that the Word of God should abide in your heart. Even the Apostle Paul writes in the book of Colossians that the Word of God should abide richly within our hearts. And this characteristic of young men in the family of God was due to the fact the Word of God had an abiding place within their hearts. And then we have a third characteristic, and that is the result of their strength. Ye have overcome the wicked one. We well know from the context of this chapter, as well as the whole epistle, and even the whole Bible, the wicked one can be none other than Satan in strength, himself, and these young men have proved themselves victorious over the wicked one, even Satan. May I remind my listeners, and particularly my fellow believers, that in their overcoming of Satan through the Word of God, they were following the greatest example, even the example of their Savior himself. As we well know from the account of the temptation, written in chapter 4 of Luke and in chapter 4 of Matthew, when at the hands of Satan, our blessed Savior was tempted and tested for 40 days and 40 nights. And he overcame that wicked one. And that overcoming power that he used was the same instrument that you and I, my Christian friend, should use, the Word of God. You remember he kept saying, "It is written, it is written, it is written," quoting the Word of God and taking his stand upon the truth of God and seeking to obey in complete obedience the Word of God. And these three characteristics can certainly remind us they should be ours. They were strong in the Lord, the true source of their strength, the Word of God dwelling in their hearts, the result of their strength, victorious over Satan. So may we take this special lesson to our own hearts, to know the source of our own spiritual strength, and thus, as John records, the Word of God abides within you. And may I say, these are the necessary things for victory over Satan and our obedience to the Word of God. And may I say to my fellow believers, when the Word of God abides in our heart, it will produce the mind of Christ within us. The Word of God will form our thoughts. The Word of God will mold our desires. And in this way, God will guide and govern our lives, and we shall be prepared for overcoming Satan. May I lay a practical admonition before my fellow believers. Dig into the Word of God. Meditate upon it. Use your spare moments, whether in the street or anywhere, for meditation on the Word of God. And learn to abstract yourself from the conditions and scenes around, and buy the truth of God and sell it not. For there is one who is bidding for it to take it away from you, and that one is the devil. But then we find, as we go to verses 15 through 17, there was a danger for these young men. They were not matured as the fathers were. Fathers who had gone on well, were continuing to go on well, and who knew the knowledge of the Savior within their souls with steadfast faithfulness. But there was a danger for the young men. A twofold one. The first was the world and their affection for it. Note verse 15 begins by saying, "Love not the world, nor the things in the world." Now let us look at the first phrase. Love not the world. Don't set your affection on the world. For the world in this scripture is that system of things about us which is organized and controlled by Satan himself, who is called the prince of this world and the god of this age, and it is the place where men seek happiness but they seek it without God. And you and I should recognize this world is not to be the object of our love and of our affection. And then also, we are not to love the things that are in the world. As John says, love not the world and or nor the things in the world. For while we pass through Satan's kingdom, we are exposed to these dangers, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And all these things in the world of Satan's dominion, they are avenues to the soul. Coming through these three main channels, the flesh, the eyes, and the pride of the heart. And thus, we should indeed not put our affection on the world, nor the things upon it. For it is easier to keep the enemy out than to get him out after he has gotten in. Oh, may you and I realize the preservation of our Christian testimony is to be faithful in the Word of God, and while passing through this world, not permit our hearts to be set upon it, as well as to be set upon the things. We shall see in our ensuing message that it is the love of the Father that should be the objective of our affections. May God write these words indelibly upon the heart and conscience of His dear people. Father, we pray in the precious name of our Savior, sanctify the truth that we have given. May it bring glory to Thee, blessing to Thy saints who have heard the message in Jesus' name. Amen.